Hi, hello. I know I'm on a hiatus still, and this is not a how-to deep, important methodologies, whatever type of an episode. I guess I just wanted to share a small win, and I feel like you listeners are my people, and other people in my life that aren't teachers aren't going to understand how much of an impact this little win had on me. And I'm sure if you've been a listener for quite a few years, I mean, we literally went through COVID and back together, and to wherever back we came to, which was not 2019 or early 2020. I don't know what time we're living in now, but it's crazy and things have been hard. And I think I mentioned in my episode saying farewell for now, this year has probably been one of my most challenging teaching years where I've actually liked fewer classes than I've disliked. Let me rephrase that. I have disliked more classes than I've liked, which has never happened to me before. There's always like the one group or the one grade or whatever, but I felt like this year there have been multiple periods of me disliking every single class that I teach. And that's not to say anything about the kids, right? Especially the kids one-on-one or whatever, but something weird happens, especially to middle schoolers, when they are in a group and when certain personalities are present and it's just like, bleh, I don't want to teach this anymore. But if you've been here with me through COVID, the group that I have in seventh grade now has by far been the most challenging group of students on a whole that I have ever taught. In fifth grade, when I had them, they were ability grouped into three sections, and I only had them once a week for, I think it was 45 minutes, and that was all I got. That's like the smallest amount I've ever taught fifth grade minutes wise. And it was really challenging because the high class was super high and we could do so much, but the low class was super low, and it was very hard for me to teach them all the same content and also challenging and stretching them in different ways. Only for them in sixth grade last year to be brought back together and mixed up again. So, because of those three classes and the high groups and the low groups and the middle group, the high students got higher and the low students stayed low because they weren't able to be stretched as much. They didn't have those models of behavior and academics around them to push for. And so, I had struggled with them last year. I enjoyed them more in fifth grade. Last year, it was super hard for me to enjoy teaching them, last 2 hours of the day. And I had them basically like restart everything we did in fifth grade. And like they were the class that if you have listened to me for long enough that I made the episode about where I just like put everything on pencil and paper, and I could basically not do out loud input, listening, acting, anything fun with them. They needed pencil, paper, structure. And that is hard for me. I do a good balance, I feel like, in my classes of like input and then a little bit of paper and a little bit of show your learning. But I have learned, especially through this particular group, as much of a challenge as they've been, as much as some days I dread teaching them, I have learned that some groups just need that. And this year they've been challenging as well. There's two sections of seventh grade, and every day it's like, oh, this section was awesome. This section was horrible. This section was great. And it flip-flops and they go in waves. Like 1 week, this one class will be great. The next week, they'll be awful. And I can never predict what they will or won't be able to handle. And that has been a huge challenge for me. I'm a huge planner. Like, I'm not a spontaneous person at all. Except if I'm throwing my plans out the window to do something fun instead. But when it comes to actually planning and coming up with ideas, if what I have planned and prepped and ready isn't going to work and I need to do something more structured that needed more prep, I'm like, oh, panicky. So this group, they have grown tremendously in their Spanish ability. Tremendously. The beginning of sixth grade, they could not even. I had to make their reading tests where they would read and translate things into English. I had to make it one sentence at a time. Just today, I gave them another test and they read a four paragraph story and were able to successfully answer comprehension questions about it, including main ideas and supporting details. Like they have grown tremendously in their Spanish. So then I know that the input, whether it's out loud, engaging, class created fun, or,
here's a story, read it, interact with it, do stuff with it. It works, right? The input works no matter how they're getting it. It's just that some days I wish they'd get it in a more fun way and be able to handle that, but they can't. Well, these last couple weeks, they've really grown on me, and I feel like maybe they're starting to mature into eighth graders, and that does happen a lot. Like, seventh grade, I refer to as the armpit of middle school. It's, like, real awkward. Hormones are extra crazy. Like, I even see it in my sixth graders. The sixth graders are turning into seventh graders, and that makes me sad because I loved the sixth graders for the most part this year, and now I'm like, oh, no, don't be the seventh graders. But the seventh graders are turning into eighth graders, and I'm kind of like, hey, I like this. Well, anyhow, I thought for sure that, like, this group of kids, not my biggest fan. I haven't been able to be the nicest, funnest version of myself with them. But lately, I've been loosening up a little bit. They've allowed for that. The students have been super successful. Even the kids that, like, and I can tell this story another time, but even one of the kids who hates doing work, doesn't think he's smart, literally all year has, like, talked down about himself, and I've just tried to beat, that's a wrong word, force the knowledge into his brain that he is a capable young man, and he is smarter than he lets on. And I just started to see a turn in his attitude in the last couple of weeks, and he is just freaking rocking it. Here's a side note to send those positive emails home when you see it, because that makes a huge difference for some of those kids. Anywho, but he's part of this group, right? That's been this roller coaster ride that I've been like, what is wrong with you? Just figure it out. And today, the science teacher, who has science fair with seventh grade happening next week, she came in to talk to me after school today, and she just said, hey, you know, I wanted to let you know because I feel like I would want to know if this was happening. And I was like, oh gosh, oh no, what are they saying? What did they do? I don't want to hear anything bad. Like, this is where my brain goes, right? Because I feel like that class has that perception of me. But she's like, yeah, it's like when they're working in my room during, like, study hall resource time, they don't think I'm listening. And she's like, but I'm always listening. Like, hello, kids, the adult is in the room. We can hear you. We have ears and they work, even when you're working with your friends. And she said, some of the seventh grade boys that I never would have expected, that they were talking about me and saying how great I am and how fun I am and how much they enjoy me and my class. And then my colleague whose daughter is in that grade, I guess she had asked her, like, who would you prefer to have for a homeroom teacher next year? Because I have an eighth grade homeroom. And she, like, without even thinking, like, spit my name out. And I just wanted to cry. And I'm going to cry right now because these are the hardest kids that I've ever had to teach. And they are not hard by the standards of what exists out there and what many of you are probably dealing with. But they are incredible human beings, even if they are a hot mess and nasty and mean and can't function some days. And it was just a great reminder that, like, they're humans too, and that if I treat them as such and I provide the structure that they need, not the structure that I want, the structure that they need, that we can learn and have fun and that they can still appreciate me and think I'm quote-unquote cool if I'm even having to put those boundaries in place in the classroom. Like, guess what? We can't handle co-creating, story-asking a story together today, so I made it for you, and you're just going to do three activities with that reading. But if you can handle that, then next class, we're going to act it out. We're going to do something fun. And they've been able to handle that tremendously. And if I show up, I'm never going to show up as an inauthentic version of myself, but there are different versions of me, right? There's the version of me in front of the class that I can trust completely that gets me. There's the version of me that the class that can't handle life and can't handle anything gets, but I still put parts of myself into my lessons. I tell the kids about my life. I tell them about what's going on. I tell them about my family. I tell them about my trips and my experiences. I'm really honest with them. I'm very real with them. I don't ever try to sugarcoat anything. Another one of the things that was a small win this week, and I promise I'm wrapping up my rambling here, was one of these seventh graders who's, like, I won't say nasty, but very manipulative and sneaky, and he gives me the ick. Okay? He's a kid that the first 2 years I taught him, I was like, you are awesome. I love your sarcastic sense of humor. You're a little edgy, but like I can be cool with that. And then this year he turned into like an icky mean kid, and I am a very emotional and sensitive soul, and I was like, I don't know that I can handle him being in my homeroom next year. Like, I don't know that my emotions, my heart, my mental health can take it. There's certain things I can deal with. Stupidity? Absolutely. You're going to take a piece of paper and crumple it up and chuck it across the room at someone else? That I can handle. But if you're going to, like, manipulate and be sly and sneaky and nasty behind people's backs, like, that I can't handle. But he and I have had some, you know, some, like, come to Jesus talks this year. And he's been really great in my classroom. And I actually have a sister in fifth grade this year too. And I've my new catchphrase, and it might work for you too, if you have dum-dums in your classes at the moment, you know, spring fever, getting them. It's actually a lyric from a Taylor Swift song. It's from the song Miss Americana and the Heartbreak Prince. And it goes, play stupid games, win stupid prizes. And I have that mantra on my whiteboard right now. If you've watched my latest YouTube videos with my seventh grade class, if you want to go see some of the kids that I'm talking about, all their parents signed off on that, by the way. They're allowed to be on there. And for a while, I had to explain to them what a stupid game and a stupid prize was, because they were like, I want to play stupid games. And I said, no, you don't. Yeah, I do. Okay, so then you want a detention? No. You want a zero? No. You want to get kicked out and go to the office? No. Okay, so those are the stupid prizes that you'll get. So don't do stupid things. Don't make dumb choices. And like, I've just transitioned to now when they're doing something in class, like talking, the fifth grade the other day, they just couldn't stop talking. They're like really fun and energetic kids. They just couldn't stop. And I was like, I just pointed out to them, I said, stupid games. And they were like, oh. Like, for some reason, that is hitting in their brains better than be quiet or please stop talking or holding up a zero signal and, like, waiting for it or counting down. Like, it's literally, like, stupid games. And they're like, oh, no stupid prizes for me. And the one of the fifth grade girls, who's the sibling of the seventh grader that I was telling you about, she said to me the other day, when I explained this to her, because I missed their class for 2 weeks. Thank you, state testing. Don't we all love standardized testing? It's fine. Who needs 2 weeks of Spanish in the fourth quarter? Not me, apparently. So they came back to class, and it was the first time they had seen it, and I explained it to them, and she goes, oh, that's what my brother meant. He said to me last night, she was doing something that wasn't such a smart idea. She said, you know, she said he said, you know what Miss Leppert says, play stupid games, win stupid prizes. So apparently I've become a catchphrase now, and all the other staff members that I share it with, one of the ELA teachers used it on him. One of my colleague who teaches kindergarten through fourth grade Spanish said she used it with her fourth graders because they like did something together and then the kids like did not copy it down, didn't do it right, weren't following directions. She put a big fat zero and F on their paper. I mean, it's a small grade, like it's not actually going to really hurt them, but the kids need to start seeing that their grades matter. As much as we want them to or not, in the grading system that we have in our school district, their grades matter. So she's like, well, play stupid games, win stupid prizes. You chose not to copy the information down, do it together, follow directions. Your zero, your F is your stupid prize. And they were kind of like, if I redo it, can I? Nope. Because sometimes in life, there aren't redos. And that's something that they need to learn. So anyway, I just wanted to share that little bit of win with you, that little bit of hope of these kids have been some of the hardest that I've had to teach. And I for sure thought that a lot of them did not like me. But it turns out that giving them what they need, even if it's not fun for me, does work. And me never holding stuff against them, always starting fresh a new day, always giving them an opportunity to do better, it works. And it was just so nice. So this is another reminder that if you hear any students saying nice things about your colleagues, go tell your colleagues, send them an email, write them a note, leave it in their mailbox or whatever, because that made my entire month. I hope you're doing well. I've been finding some creativity and everything again. So I don't know if it's just the weight of the obligation of different things coming off of my shoulders, but hopefully I can get back into providing you with some content to help you with your classes, as well as more stories like this, maybe to give you hope and put a bright spot in your day. I've got 24 days left of school. I think I can make it, and I'm rooting for all of you.